If you have your Bible, please, well, if you have, you should have your Bible. If you turn to the book of Amos, I'm going to deal with chapter 5 and chapter 6, but more so, just give you background to some of the key things in the book of Amos. This is a highly politicized book, and guys use this, particularly in liberation theology, to work from this book, but that's not what the book is all about. The book is about God's justice and how He executes His justice in the world in which we live. And I think it's very important for us to understand that when He speaks to us and we don't follow in terms of what He's doing to us, He will then bring about His justice and His righteousness. And in the book of Amos, I've been going through the study of the book of Amos, and I've gone through various chapters. I'm going to give you a little bit of background to chapter 2 and then chapter 4, but my emphasis this morning is on chapter 5 and chapter 6. But just to give you an idea of chapter 2, in chapter 2, verse 4 to 16, the impiety of Israel, God then shows His indictment of Israel's impiety. They were this religious group, but they were involved in all kinds of atrocities. They were involved in oppression. They were involved in defrauding people. They were involved in various things. And so the impiety, He puts this indictment. That's in chapter 2, verse 4 to 6, and verse 6 to 8, and verses 9 to 12. God then shows them some form of kindness in chapter 2. But they betray this kindness of God in chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. And then verse 13 to 10, He now pronounces the judgment. And when God deals with us, He gives us, He's a merciful God, He's a good God. But when we go against God's righteousness and His rule, He will execute justice. Then in chapter 4, He deals with us in various ways. He talks to the nation of Judah and Israel, and when He speaks to them, He tells them about how they have actually gone against Him. And the phrase that is used in chapter 4 is, "Ye have not returned unto me, says Jehovah." And so when He uses chapter 4, He then brings on calamities in their lives. He brings natural disasters, He brings plagues, and He brings a total annihilation of the city to execute His justice. And so not only the plagues and the disasters, but the total annihilation. And when you go to chapter 9, and it's a chapter that I will be preaching in a few weeks' time at our church, when He goes to chapter 9, He says there's no way. There's no return. You've gone away from my enacting my righteousness. And because of that, you oppressed and you defrauded people. And therefore, I will come down hard on you. But if we go to our focus this morning, and we're going to look at chapter 5, there are three areas that I want to focus on this morning. And as you think about these areas, God pronounces His judgment as He executes His justice on the title, if I had to give it a title, I would say, misplaced hope in other things that will lead to destruction. Our misplaced hope that will lead to destruction. The overall theme that I have for the book of Amos is generally that God will execute His justice, but for this particular area of consideration, is that misplaced hope will lead to destruction. And we're going to look at those, and I'm going to ask my brother, Lawton, Reverend Lawton, soon Dr. Lawton, I'm going to ask you to read for us Amos chapter 6, I'll tell you what verses, and then we can focus on those verses as we go through them. It would be, if you have your Bibles, it would be chapters 5, verse 21 to 23, and 25 to 26. And then, Pastor Lawton, you'll read chapter 6, from verse 1 to verses 14. May we reverence the reading of God's holy word as we listen to the word. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, yes.
Woe to you who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure in the mount of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, and the house of Israel comes, pass over to Chaldea and the sea, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Are you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence? Woe to those who lie in their beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the song of the harp, like David, and bend for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine and bowls and win themselves the fine spoils, that are not grieved over the burden of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first of those who go down and go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. The Lord God has sworn by himself, declared the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the pride of David, and hate his strongholds, and I will deliver up the city and all that is in it, and if 10 men remain in my house, they shall die. We once relative, the one who anoints him for burial, shall take him up to bring the bones out of the house, and shall say to him who is in the most parts of the house, is there still anyone with you? He shall say, no. And he shall say, silence, you must not mention the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commands, and the great house shall be stretched out into fragments, and the little house into bits. Do horses run on rocks? There's one power there for boxing, but you have turned justice into poison, and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice in hope afar, you say, have we not by our own strength captured her name for ourselves? For behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, declaring the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall oppress you from Lebo Hamath to the brook of
May the Lord add his richest blessing to that part of the reading of his word, and I'm going to read when I go through it. The three areas of consideration this morning is when God executes his justice. What was the nation's problem here? There are three areas that they had these walls that they built up in terms of their military strength. They, under the rule of Jeroboam, they have conquered so much, but they've actually misplaced their security in these walls. And then is the area of the wealth that they had gone through in verses 6, verse 4 to 7. And then, very important, was the worship. And that's in chapter 5. And I'm going to go through the worship in verse 8. The Lord says, I detest. And let's look at chapter 5. Verse 21, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will take not delight in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meal offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat feet. Take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thine harps, but let justice run down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream. In chapter 5, the first thing that God executes is justice on the nation of Israel and Judah is that they have had this kind of worship, but in terms of enacting justice and righteousness, they've deviated far away from it. And he says, very important, I detest that. I hate that. And on the basis of that, he brings about the judgment. But I think it's very important for us to look at chapter 6, verse 2 and 4, 2 and 13. It says, pass unto Chaldea and see, and from there go to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are they better than these kingdoms, or their borders greater than your border? Verse 13 says, You rejoice in a thing of nothing, who say, have we not taken to us wounds for our own strength? He starts off by speaking to us about these walls. They have relied on their military strength, and he says, am not I the Lord of hosts? Am not I who have given you over to these, taken over these nations over to you? And on the basis of that, he says to them, you have placed your hope in things in terms of your own military strength, but it's who I am and what I have done for you. And I think it's very important for us this morning that when we think in terms of the walls that we sometimes build around our lives, is that we think whatever we've accomplished, whatever we have, is from ourselves. And he says to the nation, you have, in verse 8, you've not enacted righteousness, but rather depended on your own strength. And so we build these walls. The second thing that he speaks is about their worship. He says, I detest your songs. I hate, and the word hate is the word that has been used there. I detest your areas of worship when you come to me. But in real essence, you've moved away, deviated from the thing that is very, very important. And that is to worship me in spirit and in truth, and to deviate from righteousness and justice. You've actually built yourself around these areas of worship to the detriment of your relationship with me in righteousness and justice. I want to say to you this morning, as we just think about this devotional, that we can worship the Lord, but we don't follow, as in the case of Amos, areas of righteousness and justice, and we don't do the things that God expects, then our worship is now in void. And he brings this pronouncement on the group this morning. But also they had relied on their military strength. He says, did not I, and he uses the cities that he uses, he said, did not I bring them into your captivity? Did not I destroy them? But now you've relied and you say, who we are, and relied on your own strength instead of what I have actually done for you. The third thing that he does is the wealth. Look at verses 4 and verses 7. He says, they lie upon the beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat their lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the harp and invent to themselves in instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointment, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. And then the third announcement that he brings not only their walls and their worship, but their wealth. He says, you enjoy the ivory and you enjoy wine, but you are not thinking about the affliction of Joseph. You are not thinking about the thing that matters most. And I think it's very important for us to understand that when God pronounces or executes his justice, that our worship should be not only in line in spirit and in truth, but our worship should be part of the lives and the way we act in terms of righteousness and justice. And this is the whole theme of the book of Amos. But also then he says, sometimes we hide behind our wealth, and we hide behind the things that we have accomplished. And he says, did I give this to you? And in the case of the nation, he says, your military strength is not because of what you have accomplished, it's what I have done. But I think the crux of the thing that I want to bring across this morning is that when God responds, look at verse 8. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I have bore the excellency of Jacob, and I hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is in it. When God responds to our false worship, to the world that we create, to the wealth that we think we have. The word that has been used here that I think is very important, he says, I am the Lord of hosts. In other words, the armies and the strength that you are dependent upon, I'm greater than them. But he also uses this word in terms of everything. I am. Now he places an oath upon himself and he says, I will bring judgment on those who have offended and done these atrocities. The oath by God is literally swearing on himself. He's taking his own life and he says, because of what you've done, this is what I'm going to do. The Lord of hosts is the Lord who no army can stand against. He's the God who's in control. But the thing that I think is very important in this passage, particularly in chapter 6, is that God is really against the nation because of their pride, their arrogance, in terms of what they have and they have accomplished. And they think to themselves that this is what we have done, but he's built that and brought that to them. I think the important thing this morning that we think on the God who responds is that when we worship, when we think on what we have, let's understand that when we go against the principles of righteousness and judgment and justice, that God will bring about his judgment. Verses 9 to 14 is then what, and I want to go through verses 9 and 14 and just give you some of the things that he's saying to us this morning. And it shall come to pass if there remain 10 men in one house, they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring him out the bones of the house, and shall say unto them that is inside of the house, is there not any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord cometh, commanded, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run unto the rock? Will one plough there with oxen? For he hath turned justice into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. He rejoice in a thing of nothing, who say, have we not taken to us wounds by our own strength? But behold, I will raise up against you a nation of the house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entrance of Hamath unto the river of Arabah. And I think the key verse that is in terms of God's justice, not only does he respond, but verse 9 to 14 is God's sentence. And look at the sentence in verse 12. Shall horses run unto the rock? Will one plough there with oxen? For they have turned justice into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. The sentence is an uncompromising death sentence, because they've gone against the two things that is very, very important in the book of Amos, and that is righteousness and justice. And he says, I will destroy and bring about my justice. And the uncompromising death sentence is found in verses 9 and 10. And it shall come to pass, if there shall remain 10 men in one house, they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones of the house, and they shall say unto him that is inside of the house, is there any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, behold thy tongue, for we may not mention the name of the Lord. When he executes justice, there's an uncompromising death sentence. In the case of the nation of Israel, there was that death sentence. And what was their sin? Verse 12 tells us, they provoked justice and they had turned against righteousness. I want to say to you this morning, our wealth, our walls, and our worship, if it's not in line with what God is expecting from us, then God will execute His righteousness and His justice. But look how He deals with the nation of Israel. He says in verse 14, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, says the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entrance of Hamath unto the river of Araba. And if you take those two areas, from the entrance of Hamath unto the river of Araba, he says, this will be a total oppression. It will be a total annihilation. He will put them into slavery. They will become an oppressed people. And I think the judgment of God this morning, when we think on the book of Amos, is that not only does He respond in verse 8, but in verse 14 He says, now this is what I'm going to do. And He says, I will raise up a nation, and you will become an oppressed people, and you will become a people of slavery. You will go into slavery. The question is asked this morning, what is the gospel connection? And the gospel connection is found in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. And I want us just to turn in concluding this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. Dr. Eiffel, will you read that for us, please?
Instruct those who are rich in this present world, not to be conceited, but to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, which He supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed.
Thank you. When we look at this gospel connection to the passage that you just read, although chapter 6 speaks about the love of money, the key thing in verses 17 to 19, the writer is actually saying to us this morning that we must be aware of the temptation of gaining or gathering stuff and the opportunities of wealth for our own sake. But he uses the words in this particular passage, rather do good, rather go and engage in things that will bring about God's approval. And he says, He's the God that will supply everything that we need. There's nothing that we will have want of. He cautions this group here. He says, take heed of pride. And in case of the book of Amos, we looked at that and we saw how proud they were because of their walls and their wealth and their worship. And Timothy says, take heed of pride. He also cautions them against vain confidence in the book of Amos. They were confident in everything that they were conquered in terms of their military strength. He says to them, did not I bring this about? And so he cautions them against vain confidence. But a very important thing in this particular passage in the book of Timothy is when we do good and when we enact righteousness and we enact the things that God expects from us, he says, He give us richly all things that we will lack nothing. He give it to us richly all things to enjoy. He says, very important in this passage, we must be willing to do this. And the emphasis here is that when we do good and we enact what God expects from us, then He will bring about our desired needs and meet our needs accordingly. This is a passage where, and I think Paul is saying to us this morning, ministers must not be afraid to challenge those who put their confidence in wealth and the things that they have. And to challenge them and rather do what is expected from God. He concludes this in the verses that we read. He concludes this with a benediction. He says, when God gives us grace, it's the beginning of glory. And he also concludes this, he will not withhold any good thing from us. What is the lesson from this short devotion this morning? When we look at the book of Amos, the impiety, God then pronounces judgment. When we look at chapter 4, because they had defrauded, they had stolen, they have oppressed the people, he says, I will come down and pronounce judgment. But in chapter 6 and chapter 5, he deals particularly with the walls that we build, the worship that we enact. And sometimes our worship, and forgive me if I say this, sometimes we get into church and we worship God, but in the background of our lives, there are things that we are doing that is appalling to God. But there's also the area of our vain confidence. And he says, when we get rid of pride, when we get rid of this vain confidence, and we look to God who richly supplies everything that we need, then we are in the place where God would have us to be. May God add his richest blessing to this devotion. Can I ask you, Father, to pray for us?
Father God, we thank you for this reminder this morning that we need to place our hope in you and not into the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to also remember that all good gifts come from you, that you are the provider. Lord, even though we work and we do things, it's not just our power of our own hands, but it's you that's equipping us, and it's you that is providing for us. We pray, Lord, that we won't have false piety, we will look good on the outside, but our hearts are wicked and separate from you. But Lord, we know that when we do those things, that you frown upon that, Lord, and you will judge them. Lord, we want to be there that day and you open your arms and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us, Lord, be faithful in all of that. We pray this in your name. Amen.